Palestinians aren't the only ones in the Middle East who are frustrated with the way things are going. Many Iraqis are also concerned about their future and what freedoms they'll enjoy. Last week provided a cause for worry about those freedoms, specifically freedom of the press. A court in Baghdad fined the Guardian newspaper of London $75,000. The court ruled that an article in the paper defamed Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. The story asserted that Maliki is spying on his political rivals and taking direct control of military and intelligence units. The paper is appealing the verdict. Reporter Gait Abdul-Ahad is a little taken aback by all the commotion he has stirred.
I didn't, to be honest with you, discover something new. Many people have been talking about this story before. Every Iraqi would tell you, like, the signs and the symptoms are there on the ground. What for me was very interesting, that different branches of the Iraqi government are spying on each other, which is just a symptom of how the country is fractured. But the whole phenomena of the prime minister kind of controlling the security services or putting some of the units under his direct control, it's there and it's been well known for a while. And I have, you know, members of the parliament talking on the record to collaborate that.
I mean, the headline from your article basically is that Nouri al-Maliki is becoming increasingly autocratic. One observer, Mamoun Fandi at London's International Institute for Strategic Studies, commented that comparisons to Saddam are misplaced, saying it is new that a leader or an intelligence agency in that part of the world takes a journalist in their jurisdiction to court instead of jailing him or ordering him bumped off. So, Gait, I mean, you're an Iraqi citizen. Would you agree with that?
But you're an American. Was it worth it? You know, you spend all this money, all those people died for you to have like a, you know, a half-hearted democracy. And why did you do it first place? If we can't have a proper democracy, then all these lives wasted, all the money is wasted, and all this adventure was for nothing. I mean, no, sorry, I wouldn't accept to have, okay, thank God I'm not killed, I'm not in jail, I'm just kind of taken to court for very, you know, very thin reasons. And no one asked me for my opinion, no one actually summoned me to the court to ask me about my article. So no, I disagree fundamentally. It's this whole dilemma from the beginning. It's either Saddam or an occupation. There should be a kind of a third way in between, you know, a proper democracy that rules this Middle East.
So, Gait, how worried are you about the direction of Iraq right now? Do you think that with, you know, daily bombings no longer kind of the headlines there, that the world's eyes are off Iraq at the moment?
That's kind of course, something which is very worrying. But on the other side, even in my article, I talked to a couple of analysts on the Middle East and on Iraq, and both were telling me that Maliki cannot become Saddam. It's not possible. And I wrote this in my article. But Saddam had the ultimate power. Maliki is not the only person who's trying to become autocratic or trying to put certain units of the military and the intelligence service under his direct control. Everyone else is doing it. The Kurds are doing it. Other Shia factions are doing it. The Sunnis are doing it. So Maliki is not the only person. He's just, because he's the prime minister and he has more resources than anyone else, so he's doing it in a bigger way than everyone else. But I don't think Maliki can go back to Saddam. What we're having now, it's definitely not a democracy, but it's sort of fractured, you know, different centers of power. Each center of power controls a certain military unit, certain ministry, within the whole kind of overall structure of the Maliki government.
So the Iraqi court ruling last week for The Guardian to pay Nouri al-Maliki somewhere around $75,000 has generated an enormous amount of international pressure and focus on Baghdad. What happens next, Gait?
I don't know. See, for me, it's not the ruling. I mean, from the beginning, I wasn't really worried about the ruling. It's what worries me is me being taken to the court, and suddenly there is a, you know, flashlight on me. And I mean, I haven't been back to Iraq since. I don't know if I can go back to Iraq. I would love to go back to Iraq. I think it's filled with potential stories. What's next? I mean, in a way, I'm fortunate, you know, I have The Guardian backing me, I have like a, you know, The Guardian legal system backing me. But what happens to other journalists who are working for a, you know, a small publication?
It does seem to make a difference, though, that you work for The Guardian and not, say, a newspaper inside Iraq, an Iraqi newspaper.
Well, exactly. I mean, The Guardian has resources to put a lawyer, to the lawyer to go to the court and even pay the fine if things come and continue to work in Iraq. But a small publication, you know, $75,000 can really break the back of a local newspaper in Iraq. And that's the problem. If you go to Baghdad now, you see 2-3 independent publications, all of them, by the way, are being sued by the government or different branches of the government. Every other media outlet is supportive of one party or one sector or the other.
Guardian journalist Gade Abdul-Ahad speaking to us from a rather noisy Beirut this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.